Now, I say this because there are two things I want you to understand. Two scriptures. One, the book of Genesis, I have told you several times, is the beginning of Satan entering into the human race. And it is in the book of Genesis. It is written how he entered in symbols. And then it will take God to come and decode that mystery for you. He uses language that carnal people begin to use grammar to understand it. You don't use grammar, dictionary, to understand the things that pertain to salvation. He eats. So everybody knows the dictionary meaning of it. So why are you saying it is sex? When the Bible says it, does it mean God doesn't know that doesn't know the word sex? Why did he use it? Can you see them now? And so he left it coded like that. Then the exit of Satan. Hallelujah. The evil, in fact, the exit of that same Satan is a book of Revelation. God allowed the book to be arranged like that. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. And it is also written in symbol. Now, we are talking about how Satan, the Antichrist spirit, will move when salvation was ushered in. From the day of Pentecost, grace was released. God moved to another stage of his divine agenda that brought grace to enable even the Gentile dogs and animals, as we are called, the uncircumcised, to also come in to the same and benefit from the benefits of the seed of Abraham, as promised Abraham. The covenant he had with Abraham, he made a window for you and I, Gentiles, to come in. And it is not just coming in. Even the process of bringing us is a mystery that Apostle Paul described in verse 24 of Romans chapter 11. He used the word grafting. That we that are wild olive branch, that we are grafted, that the original one was cut off, and we are brought and grafted in, contrary to nature. That is the mystery. Contrary to nature. And it is there, a mystery there, that is coded there. For only those he will reveal it to. And that mystery, he told us, it will be rounding up in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. And now watch it, church. Now he quoted that mystery and decided to leave some scriptures, some messages in the book of Revelation to let us know that the church will go through seven different dispensations and went to those local churches in Asia. Those seven churches each had a pastor, a star messenger, the leader of that church, the pastor, local pastor there. And he used it to speak of the condition that the church ages will go through. Each church representing an age. And but before Apostle John went to the Isle of Patmos to get that revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in a very interesting manner, also spoke of those seven church ages using those seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew chapter 13. Take note, you can mark it in your Bibles. The first parable there. In verse 1. Is a parable of the soils. And that parable is speaking of the first church age. The first church age was the age for planting the word in the various soils. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And he said, who had ears to hear? Let him hear. Then in verse 18, he says, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. And he took time to explain them. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, let me quickly add something here. There's something about dual fulfillment or multiple fulfillment of scriptures. This same parable is used severally to look at the spiritual estate of the individual Christian. And that is where most preachers dwell on. They take this scripture and begin to position yourself as a believer. What? To tell you the different types of believers that receive the word. But I also told you that the same assignment that Satan has for every church age is the same assignment he also does for the Christian individual. So that while it is applicable to the church age generally, it is also applicable to us now. The same assignment Satan has for the church of Jesus Christ that started from the first church age, immediately after the Pentecost, immediately after the Holy Ghost came down, the day of Pentecost, that is when the church of Jesus Christ started. That is when grace was released. Satan started his own agenda also to quench the light. As soon as God created Adam and Eve, Satan also decided he too has an agenda over God's creation. God has a program, Satan has a program to pervert it. The same thing with us. And until you catch it, all I'm teaching will just be academic. You must personalize it. That the same way Satan is walking through the ages, is the same way until he finishes the church. That is how Christians start. Small, 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 small. And when you are degenerating, you will not know it. Later on, as we go on in this study, you will understand why some people who supposedly got born again left, or rather received their salvation in this church. We are ordained in this church. But later on, we are hearing now where they have gone to join themselves. It is an assignment of Satan on them that they didn't know. The same way that made them now to go and join that adulterous group of people. It's the same way we shall be looking at that fourth church age that we are supposed to take today. The same way it happened. Oh, praise the Lord. The same way it happened. I'm praying that somebody will understand it. So that you will take a stand for truth. Then you'll understand scriptures. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Because the enemy has shifted our attention in this Laodicean church age to the anointing. And make you believe that as long as there is anointing, it means you are right with God. And it's a serious deception of Satan. Any other thing is secondary. If I am not right with God, then why is the anointing flowing? Take it! Who told you I'm not? And then they tell you, God is a good God. God doesn't judge the way you judge. I know who I am. I know what I am. I am what the Bible says I am. But what did the Bible say you are? If I tell you who the Bible says you are, you will soon review again who you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so you have to catch it like that. Which verse was I reading? Verse 20. But he that receiveth his seed into stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet, and that is where I am going, and that is where you see a picture of the first church age. Yet, had he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And this is the age that as the word was released, Satan went with persecution. You see how they will gather the apostles, the religious people, and persecute them, kill them, warn them not to preach in that name again, throw them into prison. They killed James. They were about to kill Peter too. And they killed so many of the saints in that age. And because of it, some people got scared and they compromised their faith. Why? Because the word did not take root in them. But there was one group. The next verse, 22. He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world as another group. And the deceitfulness of riches, because they were also enticed with riches in that age, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That is a description of the first church age, known as the Ephesian church age, told or revealed to Apostle John in Revelation chapter 2. Then it moved to the next church age. We have taken it, but I just want you to link it to what Jesus Christ said. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. To tell you the certainty of what we are teaching, that Christ himself used seven parables, and among the synoptic gospel, only Matthew caught them and arranged them in chronological order as he spoke it. The Holy Ghost put that in him for this purpose, that we'll be able to understand the seven church ages. That Jesus himself, who again gave it to John in the Isle of Patmos, also told the disciples using these seven parables. We see the second parable at the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna is the second parable in verse 24. Another parable put him forth into them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, this tares that we have sown was the beginning of the deed of the Nicolaitans. That was a time that paganism dropped her seed to begin to take root. And after some time, these deeds in the next church age became doctrine. It stood. And that parable ends by saying, let them both grow together so that you will understand the condition of the church now. that God allowed that doctrine to stay. Until now, we have two groups of believers. None identified in parable as the wheat and another group as the tares. They are all growing and they will continue like that until the harvest time when he, God, will bring a separation ministry known as the reapers. For the purpose of bundling. Bundle. And I've explained that several times here. That was the second church age. Then it took us to the third church age, which is Pergamos. Let me make a correction. I'm sorry, I jumped something. The parable of the wheat and tares. Take note that the first church age. Sorry, I mixed up something. Let me make a correction quickly. The first church age, what the Spirit was speaking in Revelation chapter 2, the church age of apostles. Take note that what the Spirit was screaming at that age was that they tried them that said they were apostles and found them to be what? Liars. And that was also the age of the Nicolaitan spirit being sown. Now, that was the time that Satan started planting his ministers in the church. By the time we come to the third church age, Pergamos, then this very interesting parable comes up from verse 31. Another parable put him forth unto them, saying, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Listen. This is the parable I was saying I got confused. I have always preached and looked at that tree that grew, hallelujah, as the church. I've always grown, known that that tree, that seed, the mustard seed, was the church. And I have taught it like that. But although I teach it like that, sometimes you just repeat what some great preacher you have respect for. Say, since you didn't know different. But when certain questions come around that doctrine, you yourself, you don't feel answered, then you become sincere and you begin to search for truth. And that is why I say that this place cannot be the church. Because if it is speaking about the third church age, then we want to see what was the identification of that first, that third church age. If this is speaking of the third church age, because it is not in that age that God planted anything. The planting of the church was in the first church age, the Ephesian church age. Therefore, in the third church age, there was another planting. So that planting certainly is the planting of the Antichrist seed, the plan to take over the church. That was when it was planted. And why did he say that is like a mustard seed being a very tiny small seed? Because it is not noticeable. So when it was planted, it was not noticeable. But that small thing that started as a seed now grew up. And now, see the way it is described. It said, until the birds, I think that's the way he put it. He said, when indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Greatest among herbs. And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And then you have to discover that. Remember that this is the mystery Babylon, the beginning of the mystery Babylon. Hallelujah. And the Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2 describe it as a cage of every, if you read it from verse 2, a cage of every unclean bird. All unclean manner of things come and they are accommodated in that cage. That is the tree that was planted, and all manner of things flooded into the church. That doctrine took root, and it has covered everywhere. It started from the third church age, known as Pergamos. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then we come to the fourth church age. Hallelujah. He says, another parable speaking unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Just one verse describes the condition of the fourth church age. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to understand that parable. But I wanted you to understand how we tie this study of the seven church age together to give us a proper picture. Now chapter 2 and from verse 18. That is the next church age we are taking. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing said the Son of God, who had his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Who is he describing there? Jesus. I know thy works. He's speaking to that church age, to that local church that we know had characteristic that will be applying to this same next church age. He said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. He's going to tell you the condition of that age now. The condition of that church at that time. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Somebody shout Jezebel. Are you afraid of calling that name? Call Jezebel. I hope people at the back there, you are hearing me. Eh? Because thou sufferest that woman, that woman, specific woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What was Jezebel doing? Jezebel, that calleth herself a prophetess, it means she was prophesying and she was teaching and she was seducing God's servants to commit fornication and to eat the sacrifice unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children, Jezebel, her children. Oh, Jezebel had children, oh. Jezebel had daughters, and those daughters married. Hey. Praise God. We shall see now. There are two of her daughters that were married. We shall see it later. The same condition that the mama Jezebel was with Ahab, a true seed of God. Her children also. She gave birth to daughters. Her daughters married again from Judah. Married one of the seeds of Israel again. The Bible says that he committed the same thing. She made that her husband to do the same thing her mama made Ahab to commit. And then you will understand who that Jezebel is, and you will soon understand who her children are. Hallelujah. Ha. Father, help me. Because you may know something, but to explain it will be another thing. And I'm praying that I will be able to say it for somebody to understand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Which verse am I? And I will kill her children, verse 23, with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine of Jezebel, and which have not known the depths of Satan, you've not partaken of it, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations when we shall come back in the millennium. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. How many people have the ear here? Listen. I will confirm whether you have ear. When I finish this study, I will come at random in the congregation. I will take off and say, stand up. The age of Thyatira, wait till you talk. I will ask you, that is how we know you have ears to hear. Let me know whether you will understand me. So that age is the fourth church age. Praise the Lord. The name Thyatira, it means the meaning of that name there, because everything as what is prophetically designed, the condition of that place, including that city. Thyatira is the name of that city, and it meant dominating female. That's the meaning of Thyatira. Thyatira means a dominating female. And it is the longest age that spanned over 900 years of almost 1,000 years. But effectively, from 8606 to the 15th century, AD 1520. And the messenger, taking Apostle Paul as a standard, and having the kind of testimony he had at that time, the aggressive posture he took to hold the light in that age, a man from Ireland by the name of Saint Columba. Columba is generally accepted as the star messenger for that age. Praise the Lord. Now, he spoke about Jezebel, but take note here. Satan is described in various ways in the Bible. Satan is referred to as a beast. He's also called the false prophet. He is also called the serpent. Different names the Bible describe him, so that you will know who they are referring to when certain terminologies are used. Now, this same Antichrist spirit that started when the church started in the first church age, he was known, then he appeared and was referred to as the false apostle. And he came in and he was referred to as the deed of the Nicolaitan spirit. That is what he was used for identification. Remember, he doesn't come and say, I am false apostle. No. It is, they were approved. They claimed they were apostles, but they tried them and found them to be liars. Apostle Paul himself said, Satan disguises as an angel of light. So in the fivefold ministry, Satan has his anointed servants to fulfill his purpose. Now, the Holy Ghost identifying that spirit begins to use terminologies that will help you understand how that spirit is working in that age. So he uses the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And they didn't come with a signboard say, we are Nicolaitans. You see, we are Nicolaos. No, they didn't come like that. But the Holy Ghost used that terminology to, because of the meaning of Nicol and Laos, to let us know, this is the spirit that has come in. What is happening is a deed of the Nicolaitans to divide and conquer. So when we go to the next church, the Ephesian church age, there was another group that Satan was using, disguising and using, and that they claimed that they are Jews. But when you look at them, the Spirit of God was identifying that move as the synagogue of Satan. So how was he operating in the second church age? He was operating in the church, that second church age, as identified by the Holy Ghost as a synagogue, but it was a synagogue of Satan. It was a gathering supposed to be a place of worship, but Satan was the one they were worshiping there with a Christian name. Praise the Lord. It is for identification. The Holy Ghost is the one giving us these names for identification. Like we talk about Revelation chapter 13, we shall get there, very deep there too. Now you notice that the word that forces everyone to take a mark, and it is a mark of the beast. And then the identification of that beast, that he has a number. And that number is the number of a man. And that number is 666. Now, people call it the mark of the beast. But it is not the mark of the beast. And Satan, trying to divert people, they are putting tattoos somewhere, 666. No! It is the Holy Ghost that was using that number, 666, for us to identify the man that is marking all the things that is going on. When we get there, we shall make it clear. And so when we come here to the third church age now, the Holy Ghost described what he was doing as the doctrine of Balaam. Making you to understand the same way that Balaam did in the wilderness and brought death in the camp of Israel, the Antichrist spirit is coming with the same style to bring death to his people, to the church. So he picked a character, Doctrine of Balaam. It was not written anywhere, we are teaching Doctrine of Balaam. We are teaching Doctrine of Balaam. It is the Holy Ghost that is using that for us to identify how he was moving in that age. And he is still moving in this same age, in the same way. And then, what started as a deed in the first church age, by the third church age, the Pergamos church age, hallelujah, it became a doctrine of the Nicolaitan. To tell you now, it has been accepted. Pagan worship in the church became accepted. It is now a doctrine. And you will see unscriptural doctrines being argued by blind Catholics and denominationals. Why? They have grown up to accept it as a truth, which is all Satan started in the first church age and achieved it in the third church age. It became a doctrine. Accepted. Hallelujah. I don't know how many people are understanding me. No, if you're understanding me, you will do something to make me, at least you go follow me now. You either say amen, or you go, at least you go smile. Make I understand, say you receive them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A pastor in Ghana, Pastor Joseph, he was sharing with me. He said when he started watching the Bright TV, and that he had a clip, they caught. They were showing one clip, some of you have watched it, where I was telling that somebody referred to some people as great men of God. And he said he had me saying that the greatest anointing that we have, hallelujah, I said the greatest anointing that we have is not the anointing that raised the dead. It's not the anointing that make the blind to see. It's not the anointing that the cripples will walk. He said he was getting offended. He was saying, what is this man saying? What is this man saying? What is this man saying? Until I hit what the greatest anointing is. The anointing that will change a sinner to a saint. Hallelujah. He said, when I hit that, he said, he jumped up from his seat and acknowledged it between him and his television. I'm saying something, if you believe it to be the truth, you will respond. Because I know why you cannot respond. Because many of you are Catholics. So you're vexed. If not, why is it only the minister that are following me? Eh? Minister, clap for yourself, you are following me. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.